is a shift in Rhema. We have a shift going on, and there's an awakening that's also going to take place tonight through the Rhema word. And the more we discover, the more I understand why we're fought. I said it before, I'll say it again. We're fought. Fought some more, and the enemy just wants to keep us from the full knowledge. And just a note I wrote, I was writing, and I just kept it there. I didn't change it, I just left it there. It's a note when I was studying this out. When we keep the sayings of Christ, this is going to make sense to you in a minute. We prove our love for him when we keep the sayings, when we stay in Rhema. It's a proving of our love. It's at this point we are empowered with his anointing to do exploit. When you keep the saying, it's a proof of love. It's not just obedience, but it's really a proof of love. He said that if you love me, you'll keep my saying. And so it's really a proof. So what you're doing by staying in the Rhema and keeping the glimpse on the now word, you're proving your love. You're proving your love for him. And then the love of God starts to work through you. It's power. It turns into power. Staying in Rhema causes God to trust us with his power. It causes God to trust us with his power by staying in the word. You can tell him you love him until you're blue in the face, but if you don't stay in the word, there is no proof that you really do love him. So what's been happening is there's been a proving going on that we really love God. We really love God. By just keeping his sayings, you prove it to him. The word keep means to watch with the eye. That's what the word keep means. It means you're watching it with your eye. Yeah. Your ear, your inner, your ear eye, and your eye. And so when you watch for him, it's like a real love story. It really is. You run to the Rhema because you enjoy hanging out with him. It's like when you're newlyweds or you're still crazy in love in your marriage and you just can't wait to see the person that you're in love with. You want to see them. You want to hang out with them. You know, unfortunately, most of us don't get too far, haven't gotten that far, but that new relationship for some of you, that new car smell, you know, that new feeling. Well, that's what it means when you run to Rhema. It's like you're running to hear him. To be embraced by him, and you don't even realize it, but you're showing love. All right? If you can't be trusted with unrighteous mammon, how can you be trusted with the true riches? Our inconsistencies under R3 is nothing less than double-mindedness. It's nothing less than double-mindedness. And you can't receive anything from God with that type of mindset. So when you come out of R3, and you don't keep a glimpse in the word of God, and you come out from Rhema, and your mind changes, you're not just slipping in a sense to your own demise, but you're also proving that you don't love. Your love isn't stable. And that's when the disciples came back, when they couldn't deal with that lunatic spirit, right? They couldn't deal with that lunatic spirit. They were untrustworthy. Faithless meant they were untrustworthy and they couldn't be trusted. They started playing the harlot. They started to move away from the sayings of Christ. He said, I give you all power over all the power of the enemy. But when you move away from what he said, you're actually committing adultery. It's actual adultery. It's spiritual adultery when you come out of what was said. It's like a vow. It's a vow. When you say amen to something, you just vowed it. So when something hits you and you agree and you say amen, you're under oath. You're under a vow. All right. We need to understand the power. This has been our problem. We need to understand the power we have while under R3. And I'm going to teach this tonight. We aren't supposed to be waiting for power to fall. We are supposed to be calling forth power to fall. We need to start owning this Rhema word and this anointing. All right? The title of tonight's message is the second part of the operation. The second part. God is going to introduce the second part of the operation. I want to skip over and I want to go to Colossians. Go to Colossians chapter 2, and we're going to pick up at verse number 12. All right? Colossians 2 and verse 12, and then we'll go back up. Colossians 2 and 12. This points to some serious, serious business. Colossians 2 and 12, it says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him. All right? We have lived in part A, buried with him in baptism. We have not gotten the second part. We're chilling under propitiation, but we haven't come to the full knowledge of the fact that we have been raised. Once you have been killed by baptizo or by the rhema, we have to have the knowledge and the understanding that the same time I die is the same time I rise. We have only had faith in the death, from being shielded and sheltered from the pain of the problem that we're facing. Just hear me out tonight. We've been shielded from it by the rhema word. So we essentially have been killed, buried with him in baptizo. We are truly, and we've got that, propitiated minds in spite of the fact that all kinds of hell is breathing down our neck, but our minds are still propitiated. That's because we're buried. We're dead. We don't have too much of a sense when we're under rhema of the problems that are really knocking at our doors. God has shielded us and protected us. Peace overtakes us. But we cannot, we're not allowed, that's only the first part of this operation. It says, you are also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. Now this is kind of strange. That under rhema, when you're under rhema, you have gone under an operation. There's been an operation performed on you. The first part of the operation is killing you. The second part of the operation, see, you have to have faith in the whole thing. That when I'm under rhema, see, what has to happen, Elder Barber, is I have faith to the fact when propitiation, I know I'm dead. But that's not the full operation. After I died, I got up. We're having faith at the first part, but the second part is where all the power is. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to understand you got up.
You got to understand you got up.
Jesus. You're not just dead to the things around you. You're now empowered to deal with the things around you. But you really don't know that you have been risen with him now in the power of his resurrection. You only having faith because rhema's taking your problems away. It's making you not to have to face it. It's wonderful. Propitiation. Wonderful. We found it. But that's only the first half of this operation. The word operation means this. Efficiency. When I have faith in the operation, Jesus. All right. This is a straight crazy motion. This is madness. It's like quickening faith. When I understand propitiation, I understand I'm under the baptizo. I understand that I'm under rhema. Wonderful. I understand that. But my mind now has to be conditioned. I have to mark for the fact that I've also been raised. I'm not just dead, but I'm alive. Paul said it, and it sounded like he was confused. He said, I was crucified with Christ. Crucified means I'm dead, right? Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, I live. But wait, you crucified or do you live? This is what happens. Rhema kills and raises at the same time. Kills and raises at the same time. And when you understand the full operation, what happens is it gives you, through faith of the operation, now you step into it. Please, we have to come past just understanding that we are buried or we are under the water. We have to understand, yeah, the old man is under the water, praise God. That new man is now alive and ready with power.
Amen. Amen.
That new man is now alive and ready to move in power. But the full faith of the operation, it becomes this. It becomes efficiency, energy, strong, effectual working. Watch this. This gets kind of crazy here. In the New Testament, it's used of only superhuman power.
God. That's why Jesus said, you shall say unto that mountain, superhuman power, whether it comes from God or the devil. You tap into the realm of the Spirit through the faith of the operation of God. But the operation is a killing and a rising. And our minds are only conditioned to understand that I'm dead. I'm dead. All the power is in the resurrection. You died so you can rise.
Come on.
You didn't die because Raymond didn't kill you just to keep you feeling hunky-dory with problems. Raymond killed you to raise you to deal with the problems.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Raymond came and slit your throat and healed you at the same time into another dimension. But your faith has to go beyond just the death. All right, here we go. Here we go. Look at your neighbor and say, God's been telling you, you do it.
God's been telling you, you do it.
That wasn't convincing. God's been telling you, you do it. You do it.
God's been telling you, you do it. You do it.
You do it. You do it. See, he told me this. He said, Todd, he said, no one's going to get closer to me. Any closer. He said, what I needed to do was kill you. He said, what I needed to do was kill you to raise you up. He said, now I've raised you in power. The disciples, I'm looking at their exploits. I'm watching them. These dudes began to take ownership of the anointing. They began to take ownership of this power. They began to say things. And they didn't even use, sometimes, a lot of times, they didn't even use the name of Jesus, which we talked about. They would just tell demons to come out. These guys that Peter's talking about, such as I have, give I thee. I mean, come on. They were taking ownership to the anointing. And the reason why they could, it was the same parallel as Jesus. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. We got to get to the mindset, if you've seen me, you've seen Jesus.
Amen.
We got to shift. Now, our faith has to come up to another dimension. We're going to see greater exploits. And I'm not angry at the fact that God only gave us the first half of the operation. He said you couldn't handle both halves at the same time. We have been marked forward and under the baptism, under the fact that when we're under rain, we die. We are marked forward. We know that by faith. We understand it. And I'm not talking about that old by faith way. I'm not talking about that. By real faith, by true understanding. I know that when I get under rhema, all my problems leave because I die. I know my mind shifts and I'm propitiated because I'm dead.
Amen.
And I know this. But now I must know that I died and I rose in power.
Amen.
With an anointing. All right, here we go. Through the faith of the operation of God, I'm risen through the faith of the operation. So the operation is he cuts my throat and heals me at the same time. That's the best way we're going to remember. He kills me and raises me at the same time. It's no different from when Jesus died. Help me, Lord. What was he raised in? All power. Tell me, Jesus. The death of Jesus and the death that you undergo under Rhema, the results are the same. You just don't know you got power. You're going to start having faith in the fact that you have power. But you know where it's coming from. Because you dead, so you ain't going to get the high mind. If you get high minded, you lose power.
That's right, there you go.
You can't get the thick head and walk in power at the same time. Ask the disciples, when they came back and couldn't deal with the lunatic. They tried to deal with that lunatic, but what happened was their mind slipped. When it says they got perverse, it means they moved away from.
That's right.
Ooh, he's got you unlocked. So you can take ownership to the anointing. Because you'll never ever think you're above your master. Because the moment you do, you lose power. And then he shows you again. It ain't you, boy. You understand what I'm saying? All right, let's go. More scriptures, more proof. Here we go. All right, we're moving forward. Here we go. Let's go. So we're about to learn some things. Here we go. 1 John 4 and 17. It says something really bold here, and it is real. So real. We got to start these scriptures here to start building our faith muscles. See, you don't have faith in the fact that you have power. You're still under baptism waiting for Jesus to do some great exploits. You're still sitting there waiting for him to do something. You're waiting for him to really conquer your situation when he's saying, I did all I needed to do, the hardest part was crucifying you. The hardest part is you. The devils have already been defeated. So if I got you dead, how much quicker can we get everything else around you dead? Doggone it, man. Okay, here we go. 1 John 4:17 says, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Now watch this. Watch this accolade you get. Because as he is, so are we in this world. As he is, so are we in this world. Remember we said a servant is not above his master, but a servant is as. And we looked up the word as. And it meant that we are uniform, exactly constructed to exact his exact being. He said, you ain't above me, but I'll let you be just like me. Oh, my goodness, my goodness.
Amen.
It's safe to say, Paul making statements, I've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, but not I, but Christ lives within me. It's safe to say that these guys could actually, and you're going to think this is blasphemous, but it's going to be proof, and then we're going to go forward and get proof in it. It's safe to say that you need to start believing like they believe, that they had their own power. They were owners of his power. God help me. See, we still, Kurt, he gave us this power, right? But we still wanting him to step in and use the power that he gave.
He freely gave.
Come on, man.
Jesus. And that's the disconnect. Because he's saying, no, I gave you power.
Gave you power.
That's right.
Watch, guys. Watch. We're gonna get mad scriptures. We ain't never been taught like this. I ain't never been taught like this. I ain't never been taught like this. Let me tell you something. When I ask my wife to pray for me, when I need her to pray, and I know this is real because this has been all my life and since we met. When I need her to pray, I have faith in the power that she has. Jesus. You know good and well when you ask Pastor to pray for you, you have faith in the power that I have. Well, you need to start having faith in the power that you have.
Come on, Jesus, my God.
You know good and well when you go to somebody anointed, you're having faith. You ain't looking at Jesus at that time. You're looking at what Jesus did to them.
Yes.
You ain't looking for Jesus. No, you're looking for the anointing on their life to solve your problem. My God, you need to start seeing the anointing on your life.
Amen.
That will solve your problem.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Somebody
say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It says, as he is, so are we in this world. Now watch Peter in Acts chapter 2, verse number 14 here. Watch Peter. This gets really fascinating. This gets really, really fascinating, my God in heaven. Watch what Peter does here. Real simple scripture, but watch this. But Peter standing up with the 11, the Lord told me to go read Acts chapter 2, and I went and read it and the whole thing. I was like, what are you trying to show me? He said, read it again. I was like, oh my gosh. Then I saw it. It was so simple. It was like, but Peter standing up with the 11 lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. Boy, took ownership. I tapped on the word words, and it meant rhema.
Wow.
Peter said, hearken unto my rhema. He said, my rhema. He took ownership. It's the same dude that tells the dude at the gate called Beautiful, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I, not the Lord gives, give I thee. My God. See, he took ownership. When God has given you rhema, he's given you this rhema. He's given you ownership to this worship.
Yes.
Calling yourself a son and a daughter living in the house of God, but he treats you like some servant or slave, you a lie. You don't have to ask to go in the refrigerator at your own house, do you? You own it. Hallelujah. No, I'm telling you the truth now.
Yes,
my children don't ask for stuff. They did when they were little, but when they grew up, they ain't no more asking. Everything's gone before we get to it. They own it. We shop, we spend the money, but they own it. Somebody better hear me here. He's giving you this word. You own it, praise God.
Amen.
You own it. It's yours, and you have to have faith in the fact that he has empowered You stop waiting on God to do it. You do it. Because when he killed you, he raised you. So when he slits your throat tomorrow morning, understand you're raised in his resurrected power.
Come on.
Exercising faith muscles that have not yet been fully developed. The fact that you have power. Underdeveloped. It's underdeveloped faith in all of us. In all of us. But we finna mark for this and we're going to grow. We're going to understand the second part of the operation of God. Just like we understood we are really dead under the rhema word, we're going to understand we're really alive under this rhema word. Oh, God, all right, here we go.
That's good.
Peter said, hearken unto my words. Let me just prove it to you, because I feel like doing that. Peter said, hearken unto my words. Acts chapter 2. Acts 2 and 14. Thank you, Miss Tanya. All right, so you can see it. This boy owned rhema. He said, it's mine. Acts 2 and 14, you see the word words? He said, hearken to my words. What does it say?
Rhema.
Hearken unto my rhema.
What I say?
Ownership. Took ownership. It was his. It was his. My God, okay, here we go. Peter said, hearken unto my words, my rhemas. He took ownership of the rhema word. He took ownership of the rhema word of God. His. Belonged to him. Belongs to you. He said, how can I trust you with my true riches if I can't trust you with unrighteous men? When he gives you rhema, it's literally yours now. It's literally your words. You see Jesus, he sounds kind of funny sometimes. He'd say, the words that I speak are not mine, they're my Father's. But then he'd come back around and say, if you see me, you see the Father. It's like, hold up. He was trying to teach them levels is what he was trying to teach them. He was trying to teach there's levels to this, right? The words that I speak, they're not mine. But when I get filled with those words, I've been crucified. Nevertheless, I do live, but it's really not me. Levels.
Amen.
Say it again, prophetess. I only say what my father says. I only say what my father says. Then he says stuff like this. You believe in God? Believe also in me. Like, wait, what? He took ownership to what God was doing in his life. As he grew in it, the more he grew in it, the more ownership he took. The more we're growing it, we have to take ownership because it really are. Oh, you had mentioned something the other day, Elder Allison. He is the vine, we are the branches. We're eating the same food. We connected to the same doggone tree.
Yes.
Come on,
amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
We're drinking from the same water. How in the world can we be different? But we're drinking the same water. We can't be different. But we abide in the vine. But yet, each branch individually produces differently. There's individuality in each branch. All right. Let's go a little bit further. Acts 3 and 6. There he goes. There we go. Here's what Peter says. Jesus. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I. I'm giving. Look at this now. Hold up now. Jesus. So wait. I'm waiting to be unctioned by the Lord. Watch this. Watch how crazy we have been all these years. We're waiting to be unctioned by Jesus to do something. But the operation says, I was killed and already unctioned. I've been quickened together. But yet I'm waiting for another quickening. But I'm already quickened. Hold up. Wait. The operation killed me, then quickened me with him. But yet I walk around waiting to be led to get it done. Peter wasn't led here. He was led up to go up to the temple and pray. It didn't even say it was led. It said it was the hour of prayer. So they went. You see them doing exploits without this great moving or leading or unctioning from God all through their ministries. anything they came across, they were endorsed to deal with. They had power. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. Such as I have it. I have it. I have such as I don't got. Listen, if I got money, I'm going to give you what I got. I ain't got no money. Why can we be owners of money, but we can't be owners of the anointing? Such as I have. Such as I have. See, this is powerful. He didn't say what the Lord has on me or the Lord is here present. He didn't go into all this exclamation. Let me wait until I feel. I don't know if he's here. They had faith in what they had. Even when before they got baptized in the Holy Ghost, these dudes, when Jesus breathed on them, went about casting out devils, raising the dead, and doing all this stuff. You want to know why? When he said that I give unto you power, I give unto you power, I give unto you power. These guys went like they had $1 million and was spending the power everywhere. Why can you use this world's power and spend it when you got it? But God has given you power, but you act like you ain't got none every time you go somewhere and things need to be done and things need to be straightened out. You spend this world's power, but then you act like you ain't got God's power when there's a problem. So you call on God to get rid of the problem, and you wait there after he's saying, no, under baptizo, I've already endued you with power. You've already got it, praise God. You're waiting around for it, but I've already given it to you. Help me, God.
Yes.
It doesn't make no sense. This world's power is the money in your pocket. And you act like a boss when you got plenty of it. But you get on the baptizo, and the only thing you do is want to stay dead. I'll stay right here until my change comes. He's going to do it. He's going to move. He's going to get it done now. He's going to get it done. And you on the baptizo. Don't get me wrong. I'm not. You just don't understand the second half of the operation.
That's good.
It's good, Pastor.
Oh, God, hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Watch this. This gets even crazier. Peter equated himself with having in his possession the anointing. We need to do the same. Have faith in what the Lord has given us. Oh, man. If you have faith in what he gave you, it's having faith in him. But what he's trying to do here, what he's trying to do is make sons and daughters. Remember that Galatians chapter 3? He said that when the master is but a child, he has governors and tutors to watch over him and to be there with him and help him make his decisions and do all this stuff. He said, but after that dude becomes a man, he no longer needs. Well, stop acting like a kid. You've got power now. And Raymond has caused you to grow up. But you're still acting like you need a governor and a tutor. The governor and tutor, which is the Holy Ghost, is sitting there saying, what? I'm waiting for you to tell me what to do. I'm waiting. Just commission me to do it, and I'll get it done. See, the governors and tutors told the boy, okay, time to wash up, time to eat your food, time to do your homework. They told him what to do, though he was Lord of all. The Bible says he's Lord of all.
That's right.
Right? Mm-hmm. Whoa, man. But when he stepped out of that, he told them what to do. It's the likeness of you growing up in this realm. Amen. Now it's time to tell principalities what to do. You're not going to control me anymore. I'm controlling you.
You're controlling you.
It's changed now. I have power over you. See, that light's coming on, boys. It's going to be dangerous for the devil.
Yes.
It's coming on. I can feel it coming on. It's going to get real, real dangerous.
Yeah.
That's why he's got all kinds of flaky and weird stuff going on all around us. Because he doesn't want your mind on it. Look at how Jesus left this. This is ridiculous. John 14:27 says this, and I'm going to close in just a second because I don't want to give you overload you. I want you to start to imbibe this and start to really deal with it, though. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. I'm not giving you peace. What I'm giving you, the world will only give you peace, and I really hope for someone to tell me. The world will only give you peace when when it's acting right. When the bills are paid, the food's in the house, so the world leaves you alone.
Yeah.
God said, Jesus said, I'm not giving you this power when stuff is acting right. I'm giving you this power when stuff ain't acting right.
That's right.
Woo! Jesus. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Give it on. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world. That means orderly arrangement or how it functions. So when it's functioning in your favor, it gives you peace. But when it starts to kick up against you and stuff is late and people are pressing you and it starts to come at you, they ain't trying to give you no peace. But he said, I'm not giving it to you like that. He said, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Then he tells you this, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Why? Because I'm giving you, he said, now listen, this is the important thing is that I'm giving you Irenaeus. I'm giving you wholeness. I'm giving you what peace is, prosperity. God said here in one verse, Jesus said here in one verse, I'm giving you a third of my kingdom. 33%, which also he told me, 33% produces 100%. Because when you have peace, it gathers together righteousness, which is another third of the kingdom. And then righteousness, righteous what, things going right in your life, grabs a hold of joy. You get the full kingdom. He basically said, when I give you my peace, I give you my full kingdom. All of my power is here. And he says, now listen what he says. I give it to you. I'm not lending it. I'm not going to sit over you and watch you with it. Don't break that now. No. I'm giving it to you and walking away. I've given you my power. That's why he said to the disciples, if you see a house that's worthy, let your peace come upon it. Release you. He called it theirs.
It's your not theirs.
He said, let your peace.
Jesus.
Because when I gave it to you, I gave it to you. Look at your neighbor and say, you do it.
You do it.
Praise God.
You do it.
I'm stopping right there. I'm stopping right there. I got more, but I'm stopping right there. I want to go to Philippians, but I'm stopping right there. Oh, God, help me now. I'll go to Philippians on Sunday.
Yeah.
I'm stopping right there. Oh, Paul said, he said, make me conformable unto you. Look at Joshua Chief.
Yep.
It's Philippians 3:10-11. Nikki already texted me. I probably haven't got. She said, Pastor, send me those notes. She's back here. She's still in church talking about Pastor, send me these notes. This is what's up. This is what's up. It's time to wake up. It's time to be the sons that we are.
Yes,
it's time for us to recognize and have faith in the second part of the operation.
Yes.
He didn't just kill you under baptizo. Rhema has raised you. There's a killing of your old man and a quickening of the new man all at the same time. Amen?
Amen.
All right. We're going to pray. We'll get into Philippians and a whole lot more on Sunday. And we are going to Mark 4, the second part of the operation. I never know where God is going to take us. But boy, he shows up and surprises. And then he tweaks and he puts this in and adds this. He's like, okay, this is why this isn't going to happen. You didn't know. It's not held against you. Just keep it coming. He has to do that. He has to. He has to. Oh, hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word tonight.
Thank you, Jesus.
We thank you for the faith that is coming alive. We thank you for exercising faith in us. We thank you so much.
Thank you.
Oh, God, we thank you. We thank you for a component under this Rhema word, under this R3. Yes, Lord. Now it's going to make us understand, hear, speak, and see, speak all the more. That the spoken word of God has to be in our mouth. You said it earlier, Elder Parker. It has to remain in our mouth, God. Help us to understand that hearing and the speaking is a result of being under, not just the baptizo, but the quickening part. We speak from the quickening. Ooh, Jesus. We speak from the resurrection. Yes, God. When we hear, it kills us. Then we speak, and resurrection power is released. God, I thank you for full clarity. I'm giving you glory in advance because there's going to be some awesome exploits coming up. And Father, we thank you that every principality that is in front of us is being slayed right now. We give you praise, Lord God, that there's a change even now, and that the power that we hold, we believe in. We believe in what you've given us, Lord God. So we take a moment, open your mouth, and speak to the principality. But don't just speak from the baptismal. Speak from the place of resurrection. Speak from the place that you're alive and you have been equipped and anointed. Speak from right there and tell those principalities, tell the origin of your problem, what it's going to do and how it's backing down. How it's being destroyed right now. Tell the origin. Yeah, they thought they had you on the run. God was just getting you ready and equipping you to understand the full operation that he's done on you. Superhuman strength. You have it right now. You have it right now. You have efficiency right now. You have working power right now. Right now. Because you've been under the word. So everything right now that you have come up against us with, we speak to you. My God. Yeah. Yeah. From a resurrected place. From an empowered place. In the name of Jesus.
No delay.
No more delay. Abundant life.
We give you praise for it right now, Jesus.
Perfect health.
We give you honor for it right now, Master.
We walk in perfect health.
Perfect prosperity in this house.
Perfect prosperity.
Perfect prosperity. Get freedom all through this house and origin. Principality, line yourself up.
No,
Christ is the head of that principality there.
No more life. No more.
The origin has shifted from lack to more than enough. The source has changed. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Everyone that agrees, amen. Exercise it now. Mark for it. Hallelujah, Jesus.